among those bowed by fright and invited to come out into the light were those first disciples. You heard me tell the story to the children, and I'm going to read it to you now from the Gospel of John. This is the continuing story of Easter, the story of Jesus appearing to his disciples, ministering to them, and empowering them to do God's work. This is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the political authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. One of the wonderful things about how God speaks to us through the reading of Scripture, God's Word, is the way that we can return to a story that may be familiar to us, and yet every time notice new details, and thus are able every time to discover new aspects of the story's meaning. What I'm noticing at the moment about this section of the Easter story is that locks are no barrier. Locks are no obstacle for Jesus. The disciples were in a house with the doors tightly shut against intruders and uninvited guests because they were still living in a state of extreme fright. They had taken care to double and triple check every door was locked. They wanted to be safe there in their little cocoon. But of course, at the same time they were making themselves safe by locking the doors, they were also making themselves stuck, limited to this house. They had shut themselves in and thus were unable to move about freely. Somehow, they were unable to go back to the life that they had been living before Jesus, and they were also not able yet to live the life for which they had longed and hoped and begun to experience ever since they met Jesus. These locks, however, that were either hoping to protect them or, in fact, confining them, these locks were not an impediment to Jesus. He wasn't stopped by a chain on the door or a bolt or a table pushed there so that nobody could get in. He came in anyway. He was there among them and quick to speak words of peace so that the disciples would know immediately that he had come to calm them and encourage them, not to scare them, not to berate them, not to harm them. "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." He kept saying it. It was his consistent greeting. What went unspoken but was very apparent by the way events unfolded was the message, "Your barricades do not limit my ability to love you. Your barricades don't limit my ability to be with you or to bring you good news." This message evidently applied both to literal locks on the doors and also to spiritual locks. Jesus came into a locked house and he unlocked Thomas's resistance to believing the resurrection. He also gave his disciples the mission of releasing people from spiritual bondage, the sort of bondage that results of being locked into sinful attitudes or patterns of behavior. Jesus breathed on the disciples and he said, if you forgive the sins of anybody, they are forgiven. Seems that Jesus didn't want to be the only one with the power to release and free people from their guilt, confusion, and harmful ways. He didn't want to be the only one with the vision for helping people start anew in their relationship with God and self and neighbor. He wanted his disciples to share that power, a power for grace and for compassion, and so he bestowed it upon them. I am giving you the key, he said. I'm giving you the ability and the authority to forgive. Jesus, of course, throughout his ministry had been rocking the world in the ways that he had been extending forgiveness and living forgiveness. And so the disciples here in this moment would certainly have been hearing echoes of the forgiving words that Jesus had spoken to them and in their presence had spoken to many other people. They would have been experiencing here yet another layer of the amazing grace of having their hopes, their dreams, their identities, their gifts unlocked, released from the confining box so that they could be used, this gifts, the service, the dreams, all the identity that these disciples brought, the gifts unlocked so they could be used in the service of God for the building of God's kingdom, and then in that way bring joy both to the individual and the community. In the generation since God revealed through Jesus the freedom not to be limited by the way that we try to lock ourselves and others up, or lock ourselves or others in or out, those of us who have felt called to take up the ministry of Jesus have looked for ways, specific, real, concrete ways to make God's liberating power known in the lives of neighbors who seem to be struggling or suffering. Here locally, one of our efforts is known as the Community Christian Service Agency, called CCSA for short. The Community Christian Service Agency is a cooperative effort, an endeavor on the part of many churches, both here in Pacific Beach and in Claremont, to help people move past the locks that limit or constrict their lives. In Claremont, CCSA operates a house where families can go for assistance when they have an emergency need for food or clothing or transportation or advice on how they might access help that could be available to them. Here in Pacific Beach, CCSA operates the Joyce Snyder Day Center for those among us without a building to call home. Nurses and volunteers keep hours there. Access to computers is available, and so is assistance in reestablishing identifying documents which might have been lost or stolen. Working at both of these locations is a wonderful woman by the name of Lydia Lopez. Lydia is an experienced social worker with great enthusiasm for this shared ministry we have through CCSA. And how fortunate for us, she is actually here this morning to tell us a little bit about the people that she meets and the guidance that she shares with them at CCSA. And so as Lydia now comes forward to talk, please remember that this is a ministry that we can and we do participate in and support through volunteering, through financial contributions, through donations of food and clothing, and of course through prayer. We welcome you today, Lydia.
Thank you, April. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to let you know how your good work, all your donations, all your participation in helping CCSA to continue after so many years. As April said, I work at the Claremont office, where basically we have anywhere from about 300 to 350 families who walk through our doors on a monthly basis. We have an open door policy. We do not make appointments. People come in as needed. And through the work of our wonderful volunteers, they are then able to talk to the clients that walk through the door. And I was saying before, unlike other social service agencies, our agency is mainly run by volunteers. And those volunteers are very dedicated. And the most important thing that they give to these clients is their time. A client can walk through the door, and they are actually able to spend anywhere for up to a half hour with this volunteer. This volunteer sits there and just listens to this client to see what it is that they need, so that not only are we giving them their basic need of food and clothing, but also what CCSA is doing is giving them time to be able to tell their story. And I think that's why CCSA is so different than all the other agencies that these clients have to go to. When you go to the doctor, when they go to the social service agency, you know, when you go to your doctor, mainly you only have about 10 minutes to tell them your story and you're out the door. Unlike the doctor, CCSA is there to give their time to these clients. And so at the Claremont Center, we do as best as we can to help clients maintain their housing and maintain their quality of life. Here at the Joy Snyder Center, it's a little bit different because here we're seeing clients from all over that come to the Pacific Beach area in need of some type of guidance. Very many of the clients that walk through the door at Joy Snyder have been homeless maybe only a month. Many of them have been homeless for years at a time. And one of the differences that through Joy Snyder, they're able to come in, and now that I'm able to work there on Wednesday afternoons, I'm able to meet these clients to let them know what is it that the steps that they can take if they want to possibly end their homelessness. Very many of the clients that we've seen is due to illness, whether it's mental health, physical, or also we see a lot of veterans, of course, in the San Diego County who have not been able to access those services. The story that I like to use is this gentleman that was just like the rest of us, had a house, had a home, had family, but he lost all of that and through his illness then became homeless. And so by him walking into Joy Snyder, we were able to help him with transportation. We were able to help him get the resources he needed to go and to get his health care, to be able to get what is called now the food stamp card, where homeless clients are able to access and buy food on their own, and through the cold weather shelter, which is Interfaith Shelter Network, which is one of the agencies I think that you work with here, we were able to get him housed during that time. And as a success story, he was able to get a housing voucher. Now, the reason this happened is because this individual finally said, you know what, someone is listening to me and someone is helping me be able to take the steps so that I could end my homelessness. And this is a gentleman in his 50s, and as you know, as we get older, we develop health issues, and if you've been homeless for more than a year or two, that is what happens. So through your generosity, through your time, and through your donations, I'd like to let you know that clients are being helped. And one of the other things that I'd like to say that I forgot to say last time was if any of you are interested in volunteering or giving your time, you can let me know, and I am the one that interviews you and basically also fills in the gaps, because we like to welcome as many of you that are able to give your time to come and meet our clients. Or if you ever want to, you can drop at the center, you can let me know, and I'm more than willing to talk with you and let you know some of the good work that all of your donations and all of your time is given to our clients. So again, thank you so much for your generosity, and thank you for letting me speak to you this morning. Thank you, April.
We do have at least one faithful volunteer sitting here this morning, Lee Pakush. We'd like to thank you for the time that you give weekly here at Joyce Snyder and also representing our church very often at the annual meeting of CCSA, voting on the board members and leadership. So we appreciate that. And I'm just realizing more and more what a great resource Lydia is for all of us. After she shared at the first service, one of our members, Kathy, approached Lydia and described a situation where she had noticed when she dropped her children off at the recreation center for a class that there was a father and a son in the park across the street who appeared to be homeless and had a sign up that they were asking for food. And it was quite a shock for Kathy to discover that, yes, indeed, there are homeless families. There are children without safe places to go at night. They're in the care of their parent, who, of course, love them and are doing their best, but things have gone sideways. And Lydia is aware that we have lots of people living in cars in San Diego at this point. Anyway, Kathy did some really nice things, went shopping for some food and weather-appropriate clothing for that child. But then also Lydia's going to be providing us with little cards that we can share with people as well as we might encounter folks around San Diego and would like to know where to direct them, where they can get some really wise counsel from someone who knows exactly what all the resources are and how to access them. So we thank you for all that you've been sharing with us. And certainly we do know that this situation that Lydia describes is very true, where someone may have had a profession and a family and all of the things that many of us are able to enjoy, and then things happen. Relationships end, health crises come, people get laid off. One of the guests of the Interfaith Shelter, when they were hosted here recently, was a man who is an architect and was out of work and thus homeless. But he is continuing to look for work and to practice his skills and his art. He sketches and uses watercolor paints to make beautiful pictures. And if you look at your May Beach Breeze, if you got one at home or you pick one up this morning, on the calendar page, three of those watercolor paintings are reproduced on that page. They were a thank you gift from him back to us to say, please use my art in whatever way would support and enhance your ministry. And so we're thankful for these insights into people's lives and for a giving that is mutual. So we give and we also receive encouragement from those that we have shared with. I would like to invite us now to begin a time of prayer by singing words that reflect on what Jesus said to the disciples in that room. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and then gave them this power and encouragement to realize that they could forgive people, they could release people from lives of bondage. And so we pray this prayer that God would breathe also on us and give us, bless us with a new empowerment through the Holy Spirit to carry on this ministry. Gracious and holy God, we are amazed that you trust us to carry on Christ's ministry here in the world. And so we open our hearts and spirits and minds to receive this breath that blows in us and through us, calling us to see in new ways and to act in ways that might bring your love and your grace to those around us. Just as we do not want to be constricted and restrained by old fears or doubts or struggles, we also want those around us to have the opportunity to live in freedom and faith and hope and to work for their own and their family's well-being. And so we thank you for the vision of those who created this thing called Community Christian Service Agency, in which we can partner with many, many people and many, many churches, and thus each little bit that each of us is able to share when brought together becomes a force for healing and for help and for good in our very own community. We thank you for bringing Lydia to us today and for inspiring in us the desire to do what we can. And it really is a blessing to us, Lord, to know that as we're going about our work day or we're at school or busy at home or out running errands, that whatever we have shared, Lord, whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether we've been lifting our neighbors in prayers, all that ministry is going on, even while we may feel that we're busy doing something else altogether. Through your Spirit, it's all being woven into a loving pattern that brings life and health and hope to all. And so, with joy, we join in the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.